In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, we find there that there's a quote from the Old Testament. And it's taken from the book of Psalms, Psalms 22. And in Psalms, the 22nd chapter, we find there that a type of David who comparing himself to Christ or like Christ. And we see that as we've studied in Hebrews chapter 1 and thus far into Hebrews chapter 2, that there's a comparison made. And it is showing how superior and supreme Jesus is and how we ought to listen to the things that he is teaching us. We've seen that it is possible to neglect our salvation, but realizing that Jesus died on the cross and that he made it possible and has spoken to us through his word to have eternal life, if we're obedient to his will, then we ought to listen to the things that he wants us to do. I talked this morning about our commitment, a conviction that we need to have. We need to be committed to the things that God has taught us, to the point where we will stand up for the truth, to the point where we practice those things, and to where we're not wishy-washy in our beliefs. But we need to realize that the truth is there, that Jesus has given us the truth. And realizing that, we should be willing to stand on it and preach it and teach it and live it in our lives. We realize that in Psalms 22, the purpose that this verse is quoted here is to show a relationship between Jesus and his people, and to show that the Messiah is a man of sorrow. And if you read Psalms, the 22nd chapter, you see some of the things that Jesus said and some of the things that David is relaying that shows us it is a prophecy concerning Christ. But it also shows us that Jesus was a man of sorrow, that he suffered, and that those that are going home to be with him, he can sympathize with them. That he is like us, that he went through some of the things that we go through, but yet he was without sin. Jesus gave us a great example to live by. And we see in this particular verse of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, where it gives us instructions on how to sing. And I thought about ignoring this verse of Scripture because I know that Perry had talked about that a couple of weeks ago when he was here in our meeting. But I believe that there's a natural sermon outline in that verse of Scripture. And I believe that we need to realize how important it is that everything that we do in our worship to God be authorized by Scripture. That we have a thus saith the Lord, that this is what they did, or we see an example of what they did in the first century, and that we use those things and we practice those things as we worship God today. In this verse, it tells us to sing. That's the kind of music that we see authorized for the church. It mattered not that David sang and played an instrument when he sang. What matters is the command that we have to sing in the company of the church or in the midst of the church, as the verse says, I will sing praise unto thee. That is in line with all the other scriptures that we find in the New Testament. In Matthew, the 20th chapter and verse 30, it says that when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Well, what happened on that night? Well, turn your Bibles over to Hebrews or 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. We know that on that night the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 23, it says, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he comes. In that particular passage of Scripture, we see what the Lord did on that night that he was betrayed, that he instituted the Lord's Supper. I went to that passage of Scripture because, as a sidebar, if you want to call it that, I was asked a few weeks ago, is it scriptural for us to say the broken body at the Lord's table? It is something that we hear from time to time where people say when they're talking about the bread that it was broken for us. The Lord's body was broken for us. And we know that the Scripture teaches us that not a bone was broken in His body. But we find in this passage of Scripture that it tells us that His body was broken. My wife's body's broken. She doesn't have any broken bones, but it's not working the way it should. And on the cross, I'm sure that there were many parts of the Lord's body that was broken besides His bones. His bones was not broken, but I'm sure His heart was broken in what He had to do and how He had to sacrifice His life because of the sins of you and me. So we need to realize that it isn't scriptural to say that the body was broken. Now, if we said that His bones were broken, then we would have a problem with that. But we see that Paul says that it was broken for you. Well, after that was instituted, we see that they sang a hymn. They sang a hymn. It doesn't say that they sang and played, but they sang a hymn. We also find in Acts, the 16th chapter and verse 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Well, it would be easy to say, well, obviously they couldn't play an instrument because they were in prison. But it would have been easy for them to rattle their chains if they wanted to do something of that nature. Pound on a wall like some people may do to try to keep a beat. But we don't see any of that recorded in Scripture. All we see is that they sang praises. They sang hymns while they were in prison. And that's all that the Bible gives us the authority to do, is to sing. We find in Romans chapter 15 and verse 9, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." We sing praises to God. We sing because of all the things that the Lord has done for us. We need to lift up our voices because it gives us joy in our heart to know that we can sing to Him. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and verse 15, it says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, we see that Paul was dealing with a problem that the church at Corinth had. And one of the problems that they had was being able to speak in tongues. And the tongues that they were speaking were languages that were on the earth at that time. They might be able to speak French without studying French. They might be able to communicate with someone in Spanish if that's what they had to do, because someone needed to know what they needed to do in order to be saved and only spoke the Spanish language, so they needed to speak it. But through the inspiration of the Spirit, or through the gifts, the miraculous gifts, they were able to speak a language that people could understand. The church at Corinth had a problem with that. Some thought it was a great gift to be able to speak in tongues. And therefore, speaking in those known languages, sometimes it added confusion to the church. Imagine if I stood up here today and I spoke in some foreign language no one here understood. But I might understand it, but what good is it going to do for you? Unless I have someone standing here to interpret what I'm saying, it's going to be of no value to you at all. So Paul is saying that I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. Pray in a way that people can understand what I'm saying. The same is true with singing. Sing with the Spirit, but also sing with the understanding so people can understand what you are saying. There are some groups today that sing making music or sounds of instruments with their voice. I've had people over the years tell me that that's all right, and it should be all right because they are using their voices. But the Bible here is telling us that the things that they sing need to be understood. We have a song in our songbook, hymn number 388, I believe it is. "His grace reaches me." And in the lead, they sing the words, but all the other parts are singing a part with just a sound. No words actually uttered. I don't believe that that's scriptural to sing it that way. The song may be scriptural, but to sing it that way is not scriptural. Why? Because we have to sing in a way that people can understand. Because one of the purposes, as we'll see as we continue, is to be able to speak and to admonish one another. to teach each other. And if I'm making the sound of a drum, how can someone understand what I'm trying to say? If I'm making the sound of a trumpet, it may be with my vocal voice, but what am I teaching? I'm not teaching. I'm not admonishing. I'm making a sound with my voice. You know, some people can burp, and I've heard people that can burp tunes. But what good would it do to burp a tune? You can't do it with understanding. And we look at that and say, that's silly to think like that. That's just as silly as it is to make sounds with our voice that sound like instruments and say that God is pleased with it. We find no authority in Scripture to do it, so therefore we don't have the authority to practice it. And I've known of congregations that have split over things of that nature. So we need to speak so that people can understand what we're saying. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. As we said this morning, there are certain songs that we can sing. There would be certain songs that would be offerings. I think that we can understand the difference in a spiritual song. We can understand the difference in a psalm or a hymn. We understand the purpose of those. We're giving praise to God. We're edifying, building up each other. That's the purpose of our singing. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A lot of times people want to say some of these words and some of these verses mean that you can play the instrument also. But I contend if those scriptures say that we can play, gives us the authority to play, then everyone in the assembly would have to play. Well, people that believe that these give them the authority to play, they don't want to go that far. Because if it says we have to play, then everyone in the assembly would have to play. We would all have to play an instrument. We would all have to come to the assembly with an instrument prepared to play it. But Jesus, or the Lord, the God, tells us that all we have to do is sing in order to be pleasing in His sight. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Again, we find the command to sing so that we can build each other up. We sing our songs of praise to God. What a blessing it is to know that we have a God that we can worship. What a blessing it is to know all the good things that He has done for us. We sing a song, He has been so good to me. He has been good. He's been good to all of us. And what a privilege it is to assemble and to worship. But I wonder what God thinks when He looks out across the great world that He created. And He sees people assembled and doing things that He has not given the authority for us to do. And in people's minds, they say, oh, it sounds good. Oh, it sounds all right. I don't see a problem with it. I've had many people over the years that talk about this very subject. They don't understand why we don't have a piano, or why we don't have an organ, or why we don't have a band up here on the stage. And most of the time they say, I think that it would sound better. What's wrong with that logic? The problem is, it's man's way. God's way is superior to man's way. Baptism makes no sense to us. But God, to God, it makes sense. Preaching the crucifixion of Christ to the world seems like foolishness. But that's what the Lord wants us to preach. That's what He expects us to preach. And there are so many things in the Bible that people thought were strange and crazy that God wants us to do. Naaman the leper thought it was crazy that he should have to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And we hear that phrase from Naaman when he said, Behold, I thought this is what was going to happen. And that's what we do today. I think that it sounds okay. I think that it would sound good. I had a man tell me one time at a funeral home that it was a blessing to hear the Church of Christ people come in to sing. Because we know how to sing. And our singing sounds so beautiful. And it does. Why does it sound beautiful? You know, if you had a room full of people that couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, would it still sound beautiful if they all sang? Yeah, why? Because it's what God commands to do. And that's all we have the authority to do. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. You ever come to church and life just wasn't going the way you wanted it to go? And started singing the songs as we were praising God, and your spirit is lifting. It can put a smile on your face. It can make you happy. Why do we sing? We sing because we have joy in our heart. Well, why do we have joy in our heart? Because of all the blessings that God has given us. The privilege to be able to be called a child of God. If that cannot make you sing, I don't know anything that would. I grew up with a mother that loved to sing. I remember years ago, when I was just a little boy, that she was in the house singing one day. And the neighbors were out in their yard, and they were having a party, and they were drinking. And my mom, when she sang, and she didn't care who heard it. And I remember that those neighbors yelled out, "Sing it louder." Well, guess what my mom did? She sang it louder. She wasn't ashamed of singing the songs that we are supposed to sing. But sometimes we don't want people to know that we're Christians. We need to sing. Why? Because we are happy. Happy to know that we have the privilege of serving our Lord. We need to realize the blessings that we have. Singing is a kind of music that is authorized for the church. Nothing else, just singing. You know, sometimes people want to add these things to the Scripture, add these things to their worship. I remember years ago hearing a sermon, a way that is right and cannot be wrong. When we do it the Lord's way, it's not possible to be wrong. When we stand before God on that great day and we give an account of our life, and our life is compared to the Scripture, and our life measures up to the Scripture because we've only done what the Scripture says, and we've done it because we love the Lord in such a way we want to do it His way, I believe we'll be in good shape. Why? Because we've done God's will. The verse also shows the purpose of music in the church. It is to praise God. Exactly what we've been talking about, praising God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." In the Old Testament, we can find examples where they offered lame animals or animals that they didn't want to keep. That wasn't the kind of sacrifice that God expected. Not the kind of sacrifice that God wanted. God wanted a clean, pure animal, without spot or without blemish, without any problems with it. Why? Because He wanted it to be a sacrifice. And when they gave something below the standard God had set, God was not pleased. We understand that when it comes to offering animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. But when we offer the sacrifice of our lips, the sacrifice of praise to God, is He pleased with anything but the best of from our lips? Does He give us the authority to just mumble through the words and act, "Well, so what? My mind can be somewhere else. I can do two things at once. I can have words coming out of my mouth from a song, but I can have my mind somewhere else." Is God pleased with that? I don't think so. We need to be singing, concentrating on those words that we are singing. How many times have you come to a song, a word in a song, that you just didn't quite understand what that word meant in that song? Should we keep singing it? No, we should keep or go and look and see what the word means. Make sure that what we are singing is right, is scriptural. So we do need to be careful. When we offer the sacrifice of praise or the sacrifice of our lips to God, it needs to be in accordance to His will. Romans chapter 15, verse 9, as we read earlier, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among Gentiles and praise or sing unto thy name." We need to realize the glory that God has given to us through his mercy. That mercy has been extended to us. And what a privilege it is. As we studied this morning in Acts chapter 2, when those people on that great day heard the message, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Imagine the situation. Imagine what condition they've been in. If Peter would have looked at them and the other apostles would have looked at them on that day and said, "There is absolutely nothing that you can do. You're lost and as lost can be. There is absolutely nothing that you can do." But that's not the message that Peter gave. That's not the message that the other apostles gave. They told them what they needed to do in order to be saved. What a blessing it is to know that we've sinned. And that God made a way for us to have salvation. As we've said also in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we find in that verse that it is to teach and to admonish. The purpose of our singing is to teach and to admonish. We have an opportunity to teach each other as we sing these songs, and we need to sing them knowing the meaning of those words, knowing what we're talking about, so that we can edify, build up the church. That should impress the serious student of the Bible to make sure that the music that we use or that the church uses is in accordance to thy will, or in accordance to God's will, because we know that he does have a purpose for the music that he has ordained in his church. We also see that in this verse, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, that it shows the manner of rendering the music. Those songs that we sing are sung unto God. It's not for our entertainment. Sometimes we hear in places where they are so concerned about how it sounds that they do things that they don't have authority to do. It's important that we sing to the best of our ability. But we need to realize it's not for our entertainment. Our songs that we sing are unto God. That's what we need to understand. And it's also to be done in the Spirit. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, we also realize that it is done in such a way that it is to be understood. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing is what God has given us the authority to do. We can't mumble. We can't hum. You know, sometimes in a sermon it might be good if I could get some people to hum while I was singing. You know, occasionally you might hear on a radio a speech by a famous president. Someone might be reading the Gettysburg Address, and in the background you hear someone humming the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Well, that might be good for dramatics. It might be good to get people to listen, but it's good entertainment. And as good as it might sound in a sermon or while we're praying or while we're passing the Lord's Supper, we don't have the authority to do those things. Again, to get to what we're talking about this morning, conviction. When we respect the Word of God, we're not going to do those things that we don't find authority to do in God's Word. When we start to question the authority of the Bible, when we start to question the accuracy of the Bible, when we start to question whether it was for us or somebody else, then we'll start having problems. And that's why the church has problems today in certain places, because people do not respect the Word of God. The question is, are you content to sing and to sing only? Jesus tells us how we need to sing. His words are the words that have been given to us. Those things that are written in the New Testament are given because Jesus told the disciples to go and tarry in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit would guide them in all truths. The things that we have in God's Word are the truth. Those things that have been revealed in God's Word is all that we need that pertain to life and godliness. You want to live a godly life? Go to God's Word. You want to go to heaven? Go to God's Word. Find out what you have to do in order to get there. You want to live a faithful life? Go to God's Word and it'll tell you how to live a faithful life. But people sometimes open that book and they say, well, I don't see that it says we can't do that. So therefore, we can do it. I learned a lesson a long time ago when I was a kid. My mother gave me money to go to the store. Told me to buy lunch meat. Told me to buy bread. Now, I had some money that was left over. It was her money. And with that money, I bought me a candy bar. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. I thought that was a great idea. What was wrong with a candy bar? Guess what? When I got home, I found out there was something wrong with that candy bar. I didn't have the authority to spend my mother's money on that candy bar. Why? Because it was her money. And I got in trouble because I spent that little bit of money on a candy bar. What a cruel mother I had. What a mean mother I had. My mother taught me a lesson with that. That when you don't have the authority to spend someone else's money, don't do it. The same is true with God's Word. When we don't have the authority to do it, then let's not do it. I didn't want to stand before my mother knowing that I had spent her money when I didn't have the authority. I imagine standing before God and practicing things that I know that the Bible does not give me the authority to do. And what a sad day it will be. Jesus said in Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? Then we have to do his Father's will. He went on in that chapter, and he tells us a story about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. His house stood. Why? Because he heard and he did the things that he had been taught. The foolish man built a house too. It sounds like they were almost identical. The only difference was the foolish man built his house upon the sand. If you ever stood in the ocean, you realize the foolishness of building a house on the sand. Because if you stand in the ocean, as the tide comes in and out, that sand under your feet will erode. And before long, you will lose your balance. You cannot stand there without moving to regain your balance because that sand is not a solid foundation. The foolish man built his house on the sand. The Bible says the rains came and the floods came and descended upon that house. The foolish man's house fell. That's what happens to us when we hear God's Word, but we fail to do it. And so many times we look at God's Word and we fail to do the things that we know that we should. In God's house, we need to sing. That's all we have the authority to do is to sing. We don't have the authority to play. We don't have the authority to play any type of instrument. All we have the authority to do is lift up our voice to God and sing songs of praise. I hope that that's what always will be the case here at Ridge Road. And I hope that that's the case wherever I may go and wherever the saints of God meet. But that's up to us. It's up to you. How much do you believe that? How much do you believe it? Do you believe it enough to teach your children to make sure that things are done by the authority found in God's Word? Jesus died so that we could have that home in heaven. Jesus died so that we could have the church. That church is a blessing, and we need to realize that it is His, not ours. He's the head of it, not us. We're not the neck that turns it. The Lord is the head of the church, and He's told us what we need to do. Tonight, if you're not, we would encourage you to become a child of God. Put your faith in God. Turn away from your sin. Confess the name of Christ before men and be buried with Him in baptism to rise up to walk in newness of life. And after you do that, then you need to live a faithful life in service to God. Perhaps you're a Christian haven't lived a faithful life, realize that there's things that you need to repent of in your life and turn away from, we would encourage you to do that tonight. You have that opportunity while we stand and sing.